of young people who are now in college, career age. We call them life purpose kids, and then high schoolers and others. And I don't want those young people to make bad marriages. I just really don't want them to. Their parents don't want them to. And it's just such a great tragedy when that happens. And as I was looking over the list of missionaries who would be coming, I realized what tremendous testimonies there were in those missionaries, especially the missionary young ladies, about waiting on a life partner. And so I thought, well, you know, you don't get to the mission field very well if you marry the wrong person. I mean, you just don't. And so it is indirectly about missions. And so just wanted to give you an opportunity to hear a lady who is a local girl. And she's right out of Jefferson, Rebecca Shoemaker. You've heard from her, met her before. And what a blessing. You know, they were up here in church in Jefferson, a sister church, for years and years. And you knew her. You went to camp with her. A lot of you did. And just someone who is just a whole lot like you. And yet she did what I think is the wisest thing for any young person to do. And that is to go ahead and find God's will in your life and start doing it. And you find God's will in your life, start doing it, and then God is very good at bringing the right person into your life. In fact, these stories, I have actually two of them lined up, possibly three, and they will take you deeper and deeper into this truth, that you get into God's will, begin doing God's will, and then let God bring the life partner of His choosing into your life. And so anyway, Rebecca, if you will, why don't you make your way up here where I am? And if you get nervous, you can just hold this microphone tighter, okay? All right, this is not her first rodeo anyway. Come on up, Rebecca, if you will.
Thank you, Pastor Miles. There's no if about it. You can put me in front of toddlers or children, but when I get in front of adults, I can't breathe. I can't think straight. So I prayed on the way over that everything would come out clearly tonight, and maybe it will. And I do thank you all for the opportunity to be here. Thank Pastor Miles and you, church, for all of your support and the great meal today and how you always welcome us every time we're home. Many of you in this church have done a lot personally to help us at times we've been home on furlough, and you know who you are, and we thank you. And apologize for my husband tonight. As many of you know, he did have surgery this week, and I just ask that you would pray for that. He struggles with malaria and bronchitis and things like that on the field. So I hope and pray that this sinus surgery will take care of that, give him better rest at night, and build up an immunity. That is what my hope is in right now. I know my hope is in the Lord, but we hope that will work. But he stayed home to rest tonight, and he really hated that he couldn't be here. But I do thank you for all you've done for us. And I can say without a doubt that God has given me the absolutely best husband in the world. And I look back at my life, and I can't believe what he's done with it. And it all started with decisions I made when I was young. And I love to speak to young people, and I know that doesn't mean people who are not, quote, young. I mean, I guess we're all young. But all of you in here, it's a message for all of us to continue to invest in young people and to know that your labor with children and with young people is not in vain. I was saved as a young child going to church with my parents. I know a lot of people I ask today, how did you get saved? And they'll say, well, I've just always been a Christian. I've always gone to church. But I remember a moment in my life where, praise the Lord, because of my parents' godly influence and because they kept me in church, God came by and knocked on my heart's door. And I can remember the moment when he said, hey, you've seen other people be saved. It's your turn now. And so I talked to my mom that night, and she took me home after church and talked to me to make sure I understood how to be saved. I grew in the Lord, and I continued to be faithful to church, to read my Bible, and to even serve. Even as a teenager, I was able to serve. We went to Faith Baptist in Jefferson, and at the time it was a little bit smaller. And when time for like vacation Bible school rolled around, I was able to teach the little children as a teenager myself. And God gave me many opportunities to serve Him, even as a young person there in my church. And you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, that has a lot to do with why I am here, where I am today. And I don't know why, but God gave me just a strong burden to serve Him as a missionary. And I looked at missionaries and I thought, I can't do that. There's no way. And when He finally convinced me that that's what He had for me, I couldn't say no any longer. And I surrendered, as many of you know, at NGM camp 1 year. I just knew it's a place to get away, shut everything off, and listen to the Lord. And He spoke to my heart. And that moment I thought, wow, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get from here to there. Because, you know, missionaries have to raise support. They have to go to a lot of different churches. They have to learn a new language. And I was about 14 or 15 at the time. And you say, well, what in the world does this have to do with how you found your life partner? Well, it has everything to do with it, because everything the Lord used in my life at that time led me to my life partner. And see, a lot of people think that if you're going to live for Christ, you have to be some fuddy-dud, some oddball. And yes, it feels like that sometimes. And you think you're not going to have any friends. So when I was 14 or 15 years old there at camp, I surrendered to the Lord, and I didn't know who He was going to have for me or how He was going to get me to the field. But, you know, it was a burden on my heart that He never let me let go of. And the day I surrendered to be a missionary, I went down to the front. I battled it all week. It's not that I was saying no, but I wanted to make sure. I'm not a good decision maker. And so the year before, I said, Lord, whatever You want with my life, You just do it, because I don't know what I want to do anyway. And so then it was the next year. I prayed all week about it until Thursday. And many other young people went forward with me that same day. I remember the place in the front was full. And I don't know why, but a lot of them are not in missions today. And I know that the Lord has different plans for different people. And I can't be the judge of why you went to the field and you didn't. And I know God has plans for some of us to stay and serve and sin. I understand that completely. But going to the mission field was something the Lord never let me get away from. And all through school, I told my friends, and I know a lot of you here have the great privilege, of going to great Christian schools or being homeschooled or whatever, but I went to the public school. And I tried to be a testimony for the Lord. Looking back, I probably wasn't as bold as I should have been. But all through my public high school and my public college, my friends knew that I wanted to be a missionary. And I hope they knew that something was different in my life. And I hope my testimony spoke to them. But, you know, sometimes it was a lonely road. On Friday nights, you know, that's the date night or the party night or whatever, especially if you're in a public school. And I looked around at all my friends, and it seemed like 16, 17, 18 years of age, they had that special someone in their life, and I didn't. And it didn't feel like anybody looked at me and thought I was anything special. And I thought, Lord, what is wrong with me? You know? Do you know the Lord saved me so much heartache and grief, and I didn't know it at the time? God gave me a wonderful family. And you know those nights when they were out doing whatever I don't want to know they were doing? I was at home building bonds with my family, growing in the Lord. I was involved in my church, and God was saving me so much heartache. And He was saving me for the one that He had for me. And I still, though, going through college, you know, I heard this all the time. I heard people say, God has somebody special just picked out for you. I heard it, but I didn't really believe it. I thought, God, not me, because I wasn't the beauty queen. I wasn't the most talented. I just was a little nobody, you know. I did well in school, but I really worked hard. It wasn't because I just had brains or anything like that. So I went on through high school, and I thought maybe when I get to college, I'll meet that one, you know, that sold out for God. Because I wanted one of those sold out for God guys, because that God had given me this desire. And I got involved in college, even in a church that was closer to the campus where I was attending. And people would even come up to me with good intentions and say, hey, you should meet so-and-so. He's a youth pastor, or he's at this church or that church. And my first question would always be, well, is he going to be a missionary? Because that's what I want to do. And he said, well, whoever would bring up the name would say, well, I don't know about that. I said, well, you find out, because I got to have a missionary. And I just knew, and I know some young ladies are get into missions after they're married, or maybe they don't know or whatever, but I just knew it was a burden for my testimony God had put on my heart. So I graduated from college and still had not met that someone. And I thought, wow, here it is. It's time to be a missionary. And I don't know how to do it. I don't have any clue how to get to the field or what field I'm even supposed to go to. I had taken a mission trip to Peru, and I loved it, and I loved the people. I took a lot of extra Spanish in college, which, sorry, my friends, I have forgotten, and thought, because maybe I'll go back to South America. Well, I had some friends with Macedonia World Baptist Missions, and they said to me, why don't you come with us and go to Macedonia? Has an orientation week where they train new missionaries. And they also were going to interview some new missionary candidates that week. And they said, if you want to come with us, it was up at a church in North Carolina, you come with us and we'll teach about our mission and you can learn more about our mission. And if you want to go and join our mission board, you can even be interviewed that very week. So I went, I sat through classes all about raising support, all about presenting your burden to different churches. And, you know, here I was a single young lady, and it was just very overwhelming to me. And I had other missionaries come to me and say, hey, I'm in such and such a country in South America, and we need a school teacher. Will you come work with us? And I had somebody else say, would you come work with us? Because they're always looking, you know, for people to come and help them in helps ministries. And it was just really overwhelming, all the opportunities that were out there. And so about Wednesday or Thursday night of that week, I went before the board of Macedonia and I interviewed, and I wasn't sure what country I wanted to go to. And they said, well, before you go into churches or whatever, you need to be sure. But we will go ahead and accept you with the understanding that you're going to pray about it and the Lord will open up the doors for you. Well, that very night at the evening meal, I was in line to get my food, and the same missionaries who had taken me to this week said, that other missionary that's here, Keith Shoemaker, he would like to know if you would like for us all to go out to eat after the service tonight. And I was like, well, sure. You know, he's a single missionary. I'm a single missionary. And he's already done all that stuff that overwhelmed me, you know, about raising support and all that. He was almost finished doing that to go to the field. So to make a long, long story short, we went out to eat with that couple that night. 3 months later, we were engaged. And then 3 months after that, we were married. And people always say, you know, how do you know? And I was one of those young people, and people would say, you just know. You just know when it's God's will. And yeah, but how? You just do. If you walk closely with God and you're in His perfect will, He gives you perfect peace about the one He has for you. And you know, His timing for me. I tease my husband because he was the guest missionary at NGM camp the year before we officially met. And I was there and he was there, but we didn't even speak to each other. And I tease him. I'm like, you could have spoken to me a whole year earlier and we could have been married. But you know, it wasn't God's timing in our lives. So I encourage you young people to wait for God's timing. Don't push anything. Don't force anything. I have friends who have married the wrong one and who have been divorced once, maybe twice, or maybe they're not serving the Lord like they ought to. I had another friend I grew up in church with when I was real, real young, before we moved to Jefferson. Married somebody, everybody in her church said, you shouldn't marry him. And within a year, she was expecting her first child, and he left. He just walked out the door. And I'm not saying, I know that Christians get hurt and Christians get burned, but if you wait on the Lord and you serve him, you know, if you'd have told me before I ever got married, you'd be teaching people how God brought you a life partner. I'm like, well, my story's not anything special that it can't do for anybody. My story is just God gave me a heart to serve him, and I followed him, and in doing so, God brought me my mate. I would not have met Keith had I not gone to that orientation meeting. And he also, he was ready to go to the field single. He had had so many people try to set him up that he was sick of it. Whenever pastors would say, would you go out to eat with us, they would sneak a girl in there. And he was so frustrated to the point that somebody told him about me before we actually met, and he just didn't even listen. But I praise the Lord for how he worked in my husband's heart and brought everything. And it's all the Lord. There's a verse in Ephesians that I love that says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And that's what he's done in our marriage, in our family, and in our ministry. So I encourage you young people, if you're at that point in your life, just pray for the right one. I had an aunt when I was in college who told me her testimony. And she said, you know, I had somebody tell me to pray for my husband, my future husband, because he might not even be saved yet as I'm praying for him. And I thought, that's crazy. God's going to give me somebody that grew up in church or whatever. God gave me somebody that grew up as a Catholic. And at that moment, that my aunt talked to me, probably was not yet saved. And he got saved when he was in college, and his testimony is incredible. But wait on God, and he will show you the right one that you can serve with as you strive to do great things for him. Thank you.
Amen. You couldn't buy that testimony from me right now. I wouldn't have you have not heard that for all the money. Young people, listen to what you've just heard. Listen, think about it. I believe if you give me a little time, I can give you 50 examples like that. You hear what I said? 50 of the miraculous power of God to bring the right person around. And so, you know, you'll hear by the end of this.